Recorded live at 4ZZZ Studios in Brisbane and broadcast across Australia on the Community Radio Network.
You're listening to Zed Games, where we bring you the best in gaming news, reviews, community and culture.
Want to get in touch? Check us out on social media or email us using onair@zgamesau.net.
Coming at you live from 4ZZZ Studios in Brisbane, this is Zed Games. We're going to be chatting video games and a whole lot more for the next little bit. My name's Jack and I'm in studio with Kate. Hello, Andy.
Hi.
How have you been?
Good.
Good. Well, I mean, it's been a few weeks since we've been in studio to record.
That's true.
Have you enjoyed the break?
Yeah.
Have you been on uni break?
Yes.
You would have enjoyed that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. God, yeah. Although, you know what I did? I was just like, you know what? Let's just start with stats. And I've been pulling my hair out over that.
Start with stats.
Well, because I've got that next subject. Like, that's my next semester.
Oh, so you're getting a head start on next semester.
I'm hoping I am. Like,
just reading random crap.
I'm looking at it. I'm like, why are we squaring that? Why do we minus one? God, this is lecture
math?
One. What am I doing?
Lecture one and it's all falling apart.
And I'm like, uh-oh, here we go. But yes, no. It's been sad not coming into the studio.
But you're happy to be here now?
I'm back.
Good.
Glad
good.
I'm back.
And someone who wasn't here before but is here now. Hello, Rani.
Hello.
How you going?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I guess for people who don't know who you are, what have you done around video games before? And just in general, because you do a lot of writing around sort of music festivals and just music in general, I think.
Yeah, so mostly I'm a music reviewer and I interview bands as well and go along to gigs and do all that. Video gaming, this is how we met.
Yep.
I used to Twitch stream, but since my internet kind of doesn't actually survive
just
past 5 minutes anymore, I had to kind of put that on hold for a little while. But I would be keen to get back into it. I think, yeah.
Well, that's what you're here for.
Exactly.
We're going to talk about video games. Kate and I have been playing a lot of mobile games, nearly walking into traffic for quite a fair bit. So, I mean, that's been my experience. I'm not sure about you, but...
I tend to do it on public transport, so I nearly miss my stops.
Well, I do it while I'm driving.
Oh, of course.
That's not quite. Later on, we'll also be have a review from the New Game Plus boys. We're going to be bringing in some content from... New Game Plus, not just boys, there's boys and girls in New Game Plus. They're down in Melbourne, they record at RMI TV every week, most weeks. Yeah, sure, whatever, I've had a lot of coffee today, I'm just riding the wave. They're going to be talking about Metro Exodus later on, but first, let's have a look at the week in video game news. Across Australian radio and across the world online, from 4ZZZ Studios in Brisbane, this is your weekly Zed Games News Update. The 2019 Australian Speedrun Marathon from the 2nd to 7th of July will see dozens of runners take on over 80 hours of non-stop gaming to raise money for charity. Taking place at both the University of South Australia and gaming convention Avcon, the event is raising money for Beyond Blue, one of Australia's leading charities focused on supporting people with mental illness. Event organiser Ethan Levi said, quote, "We're delighted to be working together with UniSA again in 2019 to put on the fastest gaming event in the country, something people from all over Australia and even overseas come down to take part in," end quote. The Interactive Games and Entertainment Association, or IGEA, has released a statement that welcomes an agreement to review and develop new game and film classification guidelines. Ron Curry, the CEO of IGEA, commented, quote, "The current classification guidelines and code still largely reflects where Australia's industry and society were in 1995 and are in urgent need for review. We believe parts of the guidelines and the code no longer reflect contemporary Australian community standards for how content should be classified in 2019, end quote. Digital games marketplace G2A is under fire as developers are encouraging gamers to pirate over buying them from the divisive marketplace. Mike Rose, founder of indie publisher No More Robots, observed that G2A has paid for sponsored ads on Google. Rose tweeted, quote, "We make zero money on our games if people buy through these ads. Please, if you're going to buy a game from G2A, just pirate it instead, genuinely. Devs don't see a penny either way, so we'd much rather G2A didn't see any money either," end quote. G2A has developed a reputation over the years for enabling grey market key reselling, whereby users buy game keys in bulk from cheaper territories and sell them for profit in more expensive markets, with no share of each sale going to the original developer. Google has recently spoken about pricing around their upcoming game streaming platform Stadia. It had been unclear whether these games would cost full price on Stadia, but platform chief Phil Harrison indicated Stadia games will cost the same as they do on other platforms. Harrison said, quote, I don't know why it would be cheaper. The value you get from the game on Stadia means you can play it on any screen in your life. I think that's going to be valuable to players. End quote. While pricing for specific games hasn't been detailed, it's likely this will be set by the publisher or developer. That's all for now. For more gaming updates, check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as @ZEDGamesAU.
And if you want to hear more in-depth discussion around this week's headlines, I definitely recommend checking us out on zedgamesau.net. You can find the podcast there on iTunes and Spotify or on whatever app you download your podcast on. Kate, yes. You've been playing mobile games. We've been playing a single mobile game chat about here.
It's not the only... Yeah, it's the only one that I want to talk about today because we've had a rant about Clash of Clans before and no one seemed to appreciate that. So,
I mean, you haven't done a full-out review of Clash of Clans and I would welcome that.
Okay, well, I'll come back with
later.
That. Yep. Table this, we'll come back.
Put a pin in it.
This is actually something created by Rushing Pixel. That's the developer. He's a solo developer. So he reached out to me in March because he had it on... what's the other one? Android?
Right.
The other one. And I felt really bad because I was like, look, I really appreciate you reaching out, but I don't have an Android phone, so come back to me when you've got an iOS version. And he did. So I did get a key for this game from the developer directly. He is a single, like...
Solo dev.
He's like a one-man team, which is incredible, and like props to him for creating an entire mobile game on his own. Created with Unity... And it is a puzzle game where you basically just turn on lights. It's called Turn It On.
Right.
And that's what you do. You just, you turn it on. So each level gets increasingly more difficult. And if you are anything like me and bad, then there is, after your second or third attempt, there is a little button that allows you to get a hint.
Right.
Which is very helpful for, like I said, people like me.
Do you rely on that one a lot?
So, I mean, I've gotten to level 7.
So let's quickly talk about the difficulty curve. First few levels, I imagine, would be pretty easy.
Are
you just hitting lights so that, like, what is the win state? Like, how do you win after turning lights on?
So you turn the light on and then it moves to the next round. So the first one's real easy. Here you go. You basically just press one button, the light comes on, next level. Congratulations.
Right, but as the levels sort of go by, you have to...
So then they introduce more... like
modifiers.
Switches, yeah, and then you've got switches on the side, so you can move this little box around. The game is made in Unity, so it's well designed, and then you just figure it out as you go along,
right?
Or
so you're,
use
you,
the hints.
You're given different flips, different switches, and you just kind of have to put it all together to be able to.
Yeah, so you've got to figure out not only which switch does what, and in which order you need to do each switch in,
right?
And then you need to have both lights or all lights on at the same time.
Okay.
And then it's fun. Like, you learn new, like, switches and different ways of turning lights on. I don't know. I was quite happy when I found out that you could move the box around a bit and there was things on the other sides.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
You can too. That's cute. I like that.
I thought that was a neat touch.
It also doesn't look too bad for a mobile game. Like, it's obviously quite simple, but, like, for what it does, and again, for a solo dev, I feel like there's not a lot there to polish, but what is there seems pretty solid.
Yeah, and I mean, I think there's, I mean, I've gotten to level 7, but I think there's over 30 levels, maybe around 30 levels already.
Damn.
So, you know, there's obviously been a lot of work put into this, and, you know, I'm not sure how long you worked on it before putting it on Android, but then from March to...
July it is now.
So it would have been June that he came out on iOS.
Okay, right.
So, you know, pretty fast turnaround there, like, obviously working hard on it. The only thing that I don't think I agree with is that he gave me a key because the game itself is $2.49.
Why?
Why does the game cost
no,
that?
No, why or? Do you not, why do you not agree with that?
Because I feel like there could be ads. It could be freemium.
Okay,
or there could be the possibility for a freemium version.
So you think that maybe the dev is missing out on an opportunity to kind of bring in more people by making it a free game?
Yeah.
Because it seems pretty simple. I mean, Rana, you've just played a few levels as well. There's not a lot going on in these levels.
There's not too much going on, but I definitely think, like, I probably wouldn't pay $3 for it, but I'm pretty bad about, like, when it comes to mobile games, I don't really want to pay for them.
Yeah.
yeah, I don't really tend to pay for a lot of things that go on my phone. I don't spend a lot of time on my phone.
Right.
I also just appreciate freemium for what it does.
Yeah, fair.
Like, it makes a game free, and I mean, if there was an ad in between each level or every second level on this game, I would not complain, because...
Because you didn't pay any money for it.
No, exactly.
Cheapskate.
I guess you're... It's not that bad, right?
No.
Like, no.
One ad between a level is...
No, if you had, like, maybe banner ads along the bottom or the
top,
like, that would be very much not intrusive.
Mm.
Like, because the switchboard itself, you can have it, like, kind of a little bit smaller, maybe moved up a little bit. You can obviously rotate it. So, yeah, that kind of thing. I feel like banner ads would work pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Do you think it deserves the $2.49? I know that's a loaded question.
See, the thing is, I very much enjoy... a polished experience, and I feel like if it is polished, then I can justify putting money towards a game.
Right.
One of the games that I'm going to be chatting about later on, actually probably the game I'm going to be chatting about later this episode, I paid money for. And in my mind, I did that because I looked at the game and I spent money on it because I thought it looked polished, and I thought the design was pretty elegant. Like, the thing about phone games in my mind is that they can, because there isn't as much to interact with, like with a PS4 controller, you're looking at like 24 buttons nearly, right?
Mm.
You kind of need to scope up a little bit for something like that. With a phone, you can't really do a whole lot before it gets kind of cramped. So the sort of preference would be to bring back on the scope and really execute on something a lot more basic, much better. And when that's done really well, then I can justify putting down $4 or $5 or $6.
Okay.
This, I say, would bring it brings the scope back a little bit too far.
Yeah.
To the point where it's like, yeah, there isn't enough meat here to justify putting down money. As opposed to, like you said, the framing would probably work a lot better.
Yeah. But all in all, for a solo dev to make a game like this and have it on both Android and iOS and have so many levels already, I'm pretty satisfied with the game. If you like puzzles, which I'm not good at.
You're not good. I mean, you're not complaining about the game at this point.
No. It's still fun, and it had some entertainment value for a short while until my ADHD said, let's learn Swedish instead.
Duolingo, let's go.
Yep.
It is called Turn It On.
Turn It On, exclamation point.
Exclamation point. Yes. It is available now on iOS and Android. Thank you so much for that review, Kane.
Glad you liked it.
We're going to do something a little bit different. Zed Games has been its own thing at 4ZZZ for quite a while, but I have not properly blurred the lines between Zed Games and New Game Plus. New Game Plus is a TV show. It's broadcast in Melbourne, Adelaide, and Perth, and sometimes New Zealand. I can never keep track. And it's a completely different team of people. They record at RMIT Studios, and I thought, why not bring the two worlds together? New Game Plus cross Zed Games, because I mean, I'm a fake gamer boy, and they're all hardcore weebs. So here's them chatting about Metro Exodus, the latest entry in the Metro series, as well as cross-cultural tone in gaming.
Now, a game that has been out for a little while is Metro Exodus, the latest game from the Metro series. And the other two have been fantastic linear experiences. This one lends itself to a little bit of a different style of gameplay. So, you know, obviously the previous ones were kind of set in the metro of Russia. The wars happened, the bombs have gone off. It was kind of a, you know, the joke was always that it was the Russian Fallout. And I think there's some element of truth to that. Like, as much as Fallout has been a stylized version of, you know, the post-apocalyptic wasteland, Metro had a down-to-earth quality to it. You know, it was basically whatever food was inside the tunnels at the time is what became the food source for everyone. It really adds to that claustrophobia. This game, as per the name implies, Exodus. They leave Moscow. And so learning the individual story elements of that is like the driving force of the story, but it basically means that you end up in a bunch of different sandboxes. So you stop at various parts along this trip to basically like a conservator, like a new Garden of Eden, if you will. So there's like a walled garden protected from everything else, and you're trying to escape to it. So you stop at all these different areas for different reasons. You interact with a cult in one, you interact... all of these different places have their own unique story to tell, and it does a good job of doing that kind of odyssey almost. And the biggest issue I would say with the game is that it's trying to do these open world elements it's still a smaller sandbox, and that's not inherently bad. I mean, the one thing that I would say this game has over Fallout, for example, is that the enemies in this are far more terrifying. There might only be one or two of them, but they're far more terrifying. Whereas, like, you know, you come across a Deathclaw in Fallout, yeah, you're dead, but there's not that many Deathclaws, and you can always level up to kind of fix that problem. Not something that you can do in Metro. My only bugbear of what is an otherwise fantastic game, and whether it's the best in the series is a different conversation, but my biggest bugbear is the translation and the way that they've managed to do the dubs. And I'm actually so annoyed / bothered with it that I've decided to bring Matt in to discuss exactly this topic. Now,
gee, thanks.
You know, okay, but you know what I'm talking about here. So you understand, you played the game in Russian.
Yes.
To avoid this.
It took me about, I think, 20 minutes of the entire game until it, straight into Russian, because 4A Games are Ukrainian, and I thought it'd be a better service to change to Russian. I thought it'd be a better service to go, okay, we'll get the proper inflections, get the proper kind of context and dialect, and it's all the more better for it.
Yeah, and I've no doubt that it is. And this is the thing. So I played it in English just because I was like, cool, I'll test it out, see how it goes. And the worst part of it was that they have these obviously Russian actors, or at least pretending to be Russians. If they're pretending, they do a pretty good Russian accent, right? But it really starts to jar because they start using these American idioms. And whether that's a case of I'm so used to growing up on watching translations which are based on England English as opposed to American English or not, it really doesn't fit. Like, they're using colloquialisms that they perhaps wouldn't have even heard or would have heard in passing. And that's how they're apparently their conversational speech is. Like, the little girl that you meet at one of the things, she says, like, mommy, mommy. And I'm like, well, no, like, no. And so much so it annoyed me because on the version I didn't realize how I could scroll down all the way and then click it one more to get to Russian. I put it in Japanese, and it was a better game instantly in Japanese. It was a better game in Japanese because of how annoying these things were. And I think it's a trend. So you have Crackdown was another game that had it where it was you've got these you had the main character who speaks to you is obviously from the subcontinent. She's Indian, yep. Pakistani. I can't remember exactly where. But so she has this heavy accent from those regions, but then she's like throwing out these American like cowboy idioms, okay. And I'm like, no, it's not how it doesn't sound right.
Yeah,
and it annoys me more and more as time goes on.
Yeah, you did mention that you were playing in Japanese, so first of all, shut up, weeaboo. Second of all, I feel that certain inflections, I feel it's more of a case of the developers or the dubs pandering towards an American audience, which again, the brunt of their intended target audience is there, so they want to try and go for that. But at the same time, I feel it's very similar to the way the Japanese went with their development and their dubbing about maybe 10, 15 years ago, where they wanted to try and again, a lot of the developers in Japan have identified this and admitted it, saying, we tried to make our games appeal more towards the American audience. That failed, but we only started succeeding until we started kind of just doing what we do, and then that was where the appeal came from. And you'll find that a lot of developers, people from the Ukraine, people from Poland, like CD Projekt Red, if they do their own thing, that's fine. Now, there's the French developers are starting to do that a lot. Yes. A lot of good games coming out from France at the moment. Yeah, yeah. Games like Fury, A Plague Tale: Innocence, which has
Fury
come out
was French. Yeah, yeah.
Come out recently as well, and that's got the same problem as well. I changed that to French 10 minutes in, and made the inflections, made the dialect a lot better. But one of the big anomalies actually is Life is Strange, but it's got its own thing going because it's trying to go for Americana and it actually nails it.
But that in and of itself is fine. When Terry Crews shows up in Crackdown and he's throwing out all these American cowboy, like, I mean, it's Terry Crews. He's the loud, bombastic American.
He's in his element.
He's playing President Comanche. You know what I mean? So it's like it makes sense. So it's
it
like
makes
cool.
Sense.
Like that makes sense. But I think it is that thing of I would rather literal translate. I mean, this is an old joke that Aniki means boss. Like, if you want to trigger me, Aniki means boss. Because Yakuza 3 translated Aniki directly as boss. They didn't assume that people would understand the inflection of brother, like older brother being someone they look up to and having that esteem. So they kind of talk down to us. And I think that's what annoys me about it, is you don't have to change it into these idioms to try and make it more approachable. I know going in what I think.
Yep.
But again, Australian market, a game that does well sells 50,000.
I think one of the big changes as well, especially, and this is very relevant to this current conversation, is that localization's become a lot more lucrative, especially in the Japanese spectrum of things, where the reason why Sega bought out Atlus in the first place was to bring that top-tier localization from Persona and bring it to stuff like projects like Binary Domain, products like Yakuza, for example, and really play on their strengths. And I hope French developers do that in the future, even like 4A Games, developers in Ukraine, Russia, China even. I really hope that they really kind of learn what Japan learned 10 years ago and really kind of bring it full force. Because, again, more games coming from different regions and really kind of harnessing what makes their culture great, it's going to make things fascinating.
Is Zed Games twice a week still not enough for you? Check us out on social media. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as @ZEDGamesAU. Follow us for the best in gaming news, review previews, and memes. We post a lot of memes.
Indeed, you can check us out on all of the platforms. Big love to Jason and Matt there from New Game Plus, recorded live at RMIT Studios for that review. And I'm going to chat a little bit about a mobile game that I've been playing lately. I think it's all right. It's called Audia. And this is what I was talking about earlier, where it's like very elegant design executed well. So who wants to... It's a platformer. Who feels like have the dexterity to pull this off? So I'll bring up my phone on the desk. It's kind of like a world of gooey kind of... So it's basically...
Is it underwater? I can't see it. I can hear it.
So it's...
Oh!
A little bit underwater? It's an underwater feeling, obviously, because you can hear it.
Yeah.
But basically, it's a platformer, but the only way you can move around is by slingshotting. It's like...
It's kind of like Angry Birds.
Yes.
But it looks like Spore.
It's so pretty.
Oh, it does look like Spore. True, I didn't even think about that. And the music is also quite
nice. Osmosis is that other one.
Yeah. But it begins very, very basic. You kind of slingshot from platform to platform. And the platforms are just like these little points, like these little sort of anchor points that you kind of stick to, and then you can jump from one to the other. And if you don't hit an anchor point, then you just sort of bounce off a wall or whatever else. It introduces mechanics as it goes on in the form of like sort of walls that you can stick to, but you kind of slowly slide down, so you need to quickly get off the wall.
Right.
Then it has sort of bouncy material where you need to sling yourself onto it, and then it flings you in another direction. And then
kind of like Angry Birds.
A little bit. And then there are enemies that rock up. There is an enemy that looks exactly like you, and if you touch it, you die, and it like follows you. That really frustrates me, truthfully. And then there are other ones. There are these like arms that come out and like grab you if you stay on a platform for too long. I honestly think that it is one of the best executed mobile platformers that I have played in a long time.
Yeah.
Would you say that it is one of the better looking games on mobile as well?
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it is really pretty.
I really wish they could see this, but like...
I mean, you can. It's called Audia. You can download it on iOS at least, I think. I'm not sure about Android. But yeah, it's a gorgeous game. It's not too difficult either. It is $3.99 in the US App Store, so you're probably looking at maybe $4 or $5.99 in Australia. I don't believe it's on Android right now. I think it's just on iOS. But if you have an iPhone and you're wanting something that you can jump into and kind of lose yourself a little bit in, I definitely recommend getting Audia. It's a gorgeous game. I'm just going to bring that down because we are rapidly approaching the end of the episode. My God.
Aww.
Sorry. But it's okay because we'll be back next week. You can also listen to us twice a week online through zgamesau.net, or you can find us on iTunes and Spotify. Thank you so much.
Or
on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram in case we haven't slammed it enough. zgamesau.
Follow away.
Thank you so much for joining me, Kate.
No, thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming in, Ronnie.
Thank you for having me.
And see you guys next time.